Good morning and welcome to the Raider Wrap. It's 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Good morning, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Hey, grab a bar of soap and head outside because there's going to be plenty of showers over the next few days. So you might as well take advantage of it. Showers mainly today, high of about 59 degrees. Tonight looks like mostly cloudy, gradually becoming a little bit on the clearer side, then 40. And tomorrow it looks like sunshine with a high of 66, which I think one of my guests, Pete Mergen, is going to appreciate that. Mostly clear with a low of 46 for tomorrow night. Monday looks like sunny skies, warming up to about 72. The winds are going to come back from the southeast, 10 to 20, with gusts as high as 30. Monday night looks like showers likely, maybe a chance of a thunderstorm, and a cooling off to about 56. But man, it is going to be whipping out there. Southeast winds 20 to 25. Tuesday, 50-50 chance of a shower or thunderstorm, partly sunny, and a high of 71. We got 48. We got overcast skies. We got drippity doodah all day. And in my studio this morning, I have Pete Mergens. Pete, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Jimmy?
Doing all right. We got to get our right microphone hooked up. That one there. We'll take that one and we'll get that one all fired up. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you.
There he is. All right, got him. This has been a crazy. I want to say that when you went to practice, we hadn't had any snow or anything all year long. And then it's like the first week of practice, and then it snows, and then it's crazy. And then now it's been raining. April's just been nothing but rain, please go. And the winds have been just howling. And for clay targets, that can't, well, I could should say it, well, I can say that could be fun, but it's got to be annoying.
You know, it is amazing because every year we seem to find the weather, especially on Sundays, the day we shoot. We have shot so far in the snow and in the rain twice between our practice and other things that we have going on. So it's been pretty amazing. The wind is, to your point, has been howling, like you said, and it does make it a little more complicated, but it only improves our scores, believe it or not, because it causes you to focus on the target. When the targets are jumping around, yes, it's arguably more difficult, but something that our kids love to shoot in those circumstances.
This sport is just ridiculous. When you look at the numbers, as of last year, there was nationwide, there was 49,000, over 49,000 registered athletes, and there's over 1,600 high schools or colleges or homeschool teams, and there's almost 10,000 coaches across the country. But the stat that I saw the most was reported injuries since 2008. How many was that?
Zero.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And how is that, Pete? Explain
well,
how do we do that?
We do that. The Northfield Raider team does it by having a required safety meeting at the beginning of the year, a mandatory safety meeting, and then we have safety meetings every Sunday before each competition. And so it really is amazing. All these students across the country have, of course, gone through a hunter safety or gun safety program in their state, an appropriate program that you have to be at least 12 years old to be licensed. So I think it's a credit to the teachings, really. It's a very serious thing that these kids learn. And one would argue something that is extremely good for our youth that they should be going through, especially in this age of the gun violence that we see across our nation. I feel pretty confident in telling you that I highly doubt any of these people have gone through a hunter safety or gun safety program at a young age. Most
right.
of the violence that happens are people who picked up weapons, much later in life and learned from places other than an authority.
Well, and then I think they, going through the gun safety, I think helps you understand the danger and then
Correct.
The respect
Correct.
Of being
yep.
able to use that in a respectful yep. way.
And there's a strong etiquette to this sport. This has been an Olympic sport for a long, long time, dating, I don't know, I couldn't say for certain, but I think if someone were to look up how long trap and skeet shooting has been part of the Olympics, it would go back a long, long way.
Right.
And So it is the sport itself has a very strong etiquette and has a very strong following as well.
So you only participate on Sundays, correct?
Our team does, yes.
Other teams?
What really dictates that, so we have basically a week to shoot. And we shoot on Sundays, which happens to be the first day of competition for the league each week. So we could compete all the way up to the following Saturday. But the problem is there's no place to do this.
Right.
So it's a good problem to have. The growing pains are wonderful, but most of these gun clubs and ranges were dying on the vine 14 years ago. It was a dying breed, literally, of its people, because most of them were older ladies and gentlemen that participated in the sport, and these gun clubs were quite literally on the verge of closing.
Wow. And now, so then somebody decided, hey, we should probably get the youth involved.
Yeah, so the USA Clay Target Team actually was started right here in Minnesota 14 years ago. And their headquarters is up in Mendota Heights. They had either two or three teams that started the league 14 years ago. And now there's 370-some high school teams in our state that participate in it. And as we were talking about earlier, there's almost 12,000 students in the state of Minnesota alone out of that 50,000 that
compete. Yeah, that is nuts, isn't it? And then if you look at the map, there's a map on the MinnesotaUSAClayTarget.com. If you go there, there's a map, and when you pull up the Minnesota teams, it's just red. I mean, it's just everywhere. To have that many teams in the state of Minnesota is ridiculous. Like you said, 25% is the state of Minnesota.
Yep.
So that's pretty interesting. And so Sundays, you compete on Sundays. So do they practice through the week then, or
that's the problem. We don't, as a team, we don't have the time or the facilities to practice. So the kids are more or less go out during the week to the various locations around the Twin Cities, and they go out and shoot some practice rounds and then come and compete on Sunday. So we have the first 3 weeks of our season are practice rounds where we practice as a team together. But it's very complicated because practice isn't just about going and pulling the trigger and shooting. There is a methodology behind it, and we actually follow a methodology that I instituted with our program when I became the head coach 5 seasons ago. And it's a methodology that Dan Carlisle, who is either a bronze or silver medalist in skeet shooting in the Olympics. And he has had a laundry list of events that he has won across the nation and on the international level in Olympic type competition. So he has a certain methodology that we latched onto, and we have seen amazing improvements in our overall team scores in the last 5 seasons.
Well, you are coming off a state championship, so
yep.
Are you dangerous this year? Are you guys
our skeet team is as you mentioned the state class 1A champions, and yes, I would be disappointed, to say the least, if we are not able to defend that title this year. We have an excellent skeet team. Skeet is a little different from trap in that we only have 10 students. We have to cap it because, again, we don't have the time or the facility space to be able to have more students on our skeet team.
But skeet, clay, you've got, 90?
We have 91 students on our trap team. It's a little confusing because we call it the Northfield Raider Clay Target Team.
Right.
But really there's 4 events that we could participate in: trap shooting, skeet shooting, 5-stand, and sporting clays. Those are 4 different games within the sport that we could have competitive teams with. And so right now we are competing in the trap and skeet games that exist, and trap is kind of the general format. The other three would again, be smaller team formats. So we take these 10 kids, and we are, like I said, state champions for skeet and trap last year. We missed getting into the state tournament by 2 targets. So we did not have a state tournament berth, but later on in the year, there is a national event where literally the best of the best from across the country are invited based on your average individual score. And we competed out there, made it past the preliminary rounds, and ended up taking 24th in the nation last year.
With our ski team.
With our trap team.
Trap team.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we had 2 very good things. Our trap team ended up, you know, in very high honors nationally, and then our skeet team was the state champion last year.
Pete Mergens is our guest this morning with the Clay Targets, head coach there for the last 5 years, and we look at week 3. So, like, it goes on. You're later than most, like, a lot of the sports will be done before June.
Yes.
You guys go well into June, and mm-hmm. then that's when your state tournament is as well.
It is, yep. Yeah, it is unique, to say the least, but that's just how it unfolds, because actually the state championship in Alexandria is the largest shooting event in the country that happens in Minnesota, in Alexandria, that week of June, the second week of June. It's a 9-day event.
Okay, and it goes through the 18th, I believe, right?
Yep. Our team shoots on the 18th, the last day. Those are the biggest teams of the so there's 9 conferences, and we're not conferenced in the normal Big 9 conference that we participate in here. We're conferenced by the size of our team, and so we're as an example, we're in the top 10 largest schools in the state, one of the top 10 largest schools in the state, and so the conference that we have. They take the average in any given conference. They take the average number of students in that entire conference, and they divide it by the number of teams. So we can shoot. We compete. The average score from us, I think it's 67 students out of our 91 count towards our team scoring every week, and it could be any. It just depends on their scores that week,
mm-hmm.
but 67 of our scores right now go towards our team total every week.
Wow. I wanted to ask you about the class. So you said your class 1A, you're one of the largest.
Yeah.
So how many classes are there in the state of Minnesota?
Well, that was skeet. And again, it's confusing, but skeet, there's only 2 classes for skeet. But there are, I think, 4 classes for trap. And then there's conferences for each of those classes mm-hmm. as well. So that's just, again, how many students participate in trap shooting.
Is there a 1, or is there an A, double A, triple A, or is it?
No.
It's 1A, 2A, 3A, or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. But you're in 1A, so you're in the largest.
We are. For skeet.
Skeet.
Yep. We're also in the largest for trap, but it's not based the way any other sports would be. So we're not in 1A, we're in 9A.
Okay.
And it's the 9As that are the biggest schools. And so we compete on the last day of that 9-day. So each conference has a day to shoot out in Alexandria. And they save the largest schools for the last day.
Okay.
So we are up there. It takes us all day. We will bring, I think this year right now we have 57 kids that are going. Everybody, my entire team is invited to go, but it's up to the individuals if they want to participate. So 57 of our 91 are going to Alexandria and will be competing from there. So you can compete as an individual, and we also compete as a team. So they take the top 40 teams from that 9-day event, get to go to the state tournament. And how that's determined is each school shoots their 100 rounds, each student. So what is that, 5,700 rounds we'll be shooting? it's the top 5 scorers on your team out of 500, because there's each person is shooting 100. So the top 5 out of 500, whatever score that is, Usually it's 465 to 470 is the number 40 on the list.
Right.
So that means that's how many our top five students.
Is Alexandria the, is that tournament float around the state, or is it just Alexandria is the designated site?
Just Alexandria is the designated site.
Any particular reason why Alexandria?
They have a trap range that has 22 trap houses on it. So they have the largest facilities in the state, which is why, and it still takes 9 days in the largest facility we have to complete that tournament.
Well, like I said, there's 12,000 kids in the state of Minnesota, half of them going to that thing, so there's 6,000 kids up there.
Yeah.
Shooting traps. So that's, so do you just drive up there during the day, or do you stay overnight? Or
most students will go and spend the night, because you can go practice the night before your competition up there. They have selected trap houses available to go out and shoot some practice rounds. So most people go up the night before and then compete and drive home. So
you were the Class 1A champion last year. So in Skeet. No, Targets.
Yep.
In Clay Targets. In Skeet. Okay. Yep. I'll get this right one of these days.
It's confusing.
It's so how many of those kids came back this year?
On our Skeet team, we lost two students that graduated. On our overall team, I think we graduated maybe a dozen kids last year. That might have been less than that. Maybe 8 or 10, actually. So you understand our kids can join the team in sixth grade. So they have 7 seasons. They actually can compete on this team.
Very nice.
It really is, Jimmy, one of the most amazing things to be a part of, because I get to watch these students from sixth grade progress to their senior year.
Sure.
And we have an amazing class of seniors this year that are very near and dear to me, because I have had, 5 seasons as their head coach. I was an assistant coach for a couple of years as well. So I've seen these kids since they came in as sixth graders. And so it does mean a lot to me to see this group. They're all important to me, but this group of seniors are very special to me. My son graduated last year, and he was on the team since sixth grade. So that was difficult to have my first child not only, graduate and go to college somewhere, but, it was hard to see that. All good.
Right.
So now this group of seniors, it's an honor beyond belief to be able to coach these kids.
Do you get to spend any time with them through the week, or is it just strictly Sundays?
Just Sundays. We do have the Morristown Gun Club that we compete at as kind of our quote unquote home range. We compete there with Bethlehem Academy, WEM, which is Waterville, Elysian, Morristown, and then Faribault. Those are the 4 schools that compete down there. So we are open on Thursdays down there. I say we because I'm also on the gun club board. We do compete on Thursdays for fun. There's individual leagues and things that take place at the gun club. But the kids usually go down and shoot and practice on Thursdays.
Okay. So you got competition week 3 begins here. That would be tomorrow.
Yep.
Who are you shooting against tomorrow?
We shoot against everybody in the conference, so it doesn't work that we're shooting against another team per se. So they have what's called this true team scoring system, and it's pretty confusing. So you get so many points so each student goes out and shoots 2 rounds of 25. So there's 50 total targets that each student is eligible to break, right? So as an example, on our Skeet team last week, Tad Stanton ran a straight 50 at Skeet, which is not an easy task.
Right.
But he will get the largest amount of points for our team. Is it possible that some other school also had a straight 50? It's possible, just not likely. So the way this true team scoring works, if you start at 50 points and work all the way down to 0, there's so many points you get for a 50, so many for a 49, so many for a 48, and then they add those up as an example after the first week. So we've competed 2 weeks right now. I don't know our standings yet because today is the last day of the second week.
Okay. Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Right.
Tomorrow is day one of the third week, so right. Our scores won't be tabulated until 10 o'clock tonight. They'll come out, and we'll see where we stand. But after the first week of competition, we were in third place for our trap team, and we were in first place for our skeet team.
Okay.
And so we were just missed second place on trap by maybe 100 points, which is not very much, but I think we were 300 or 400 points out of first place. So that was Owatonna that's in first place. They have a very good team as well. I will tell you that I think there's a direct correlation to the success of a team based on the facilities they have to shoot in. Owatonna has a gun club, and their kids are able to get out on a regular basis there.
Right. Well, repetition's the mother of all skill. You know, I mean,
it is.
I mean, I haven't. The last time I went duck hunting, it had been several years in between. I couldn't hit the barn. I'm telling you, it was because you know. I mean, when you're out there and you're doing it, you know, you're going to improve. But if you haven't done it in a while, it's crazy.
Yeah, there's out of 91 kids, there's a group of kids, maybe 20 kids who really love it, want to get better, and want to be competitive.
Right.
Then there's maybe another 20 kids that are, you know, kind of on the cusp of that. Like they really like it, they want to get better, but they don't necessarily have the mental capacity to. Because so much of it is not just that repetition and muscle memory. That's about 90% of it. The other 10% is the mental side of the game.
Right.
You know, if you miss a target, it's very hard to get beyond that target. If you're still thinking about the last target, you're probably not going to break the next target.
Right.
So it's a hand-eye coordination thing. You have to see the target before you can move to it and break it. And so if you're not focused and you don't see the target, you end up chasing the target, and chances are you're going to miss it.
Interestingly enough.
Oh, yeah, it's very humbling, let me tell you. There's very few kids of my top group that I could consistently compete or beat myself.
What time you get out there tomorrow?
I'll be out there probably about noon tomorrow, and it'll take an entire day to... I won't get home till 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
Oh, nice. I've got several more questions I could ask you, but it's already 23 minutes after 10 o'clock, and we're only on the air for so long, but I appreciate you coming in.
My pleasure.
It's always fun to talk to you about this. I know you're very passionate about it, and I really appreciate you coming in and talking about your team, and good luck.
Jimmy, thank you so much for giving us the time.
Absolutely. We're going to do it again. We'll do it in a couple more weeks. I'll come back and ask more of these questions as well. So, Pete Mergens, the head coach of the clay skeet trap team thingy. All right, Pete, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. You know what? We'll probably have to get caught up with the Raider scoreboard with Liz Campbell coming up, and then we'll hopefully get Jason Mosley on the air to talk about Thursday's big event going on here in Northfield. You're listening to the Raider App on 95.1 The One and AM 1080 KYMN. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bruss, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
Community Resource Bank is an integral part of the Northfield, Cannon Falls, and Roseville communities, offering solutions for business, residential, and investment accounts. With our CRB mobile app, you get convenience and protection with notifications about your balance, account activity, and making deposits. View your e-statements or set up online bill payments. The CRB mobile app makes it easy. Community Resource Bank. Let's bank together. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
95.1. The One.
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap, 26 minutes after 10 o'clock on this rainy, drizzly Saturday afternoon. I wish I were a duck today. Plenty of sunshine coming later, maybe tomorrow. But today, showers pretty much all day long. Maybe a chance of a quarter to a half an inch possible. Tonight, cloudy, gradually clearing, cooling off to around 40. Tomorrow, sunshine, a high of 66. Beautiful. Beautiful day. Northwest winds, mild, very calm tomorrow, so that's going to be awesome. For Sunday night, mostly clear skies with a low of around 46. And then for Monday, mostly sunny and a high of 72, but those winds out of the southeast, 10 to 20 gusts, 30 to 35 miles an hour. And then for Monday night, showers are likely with about a 90% chance, cooling off to around 40 miles an hour, quarter to a half an inch possible. And then for Tuesday, it looks like a coin flip away from sun and or showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high of 71. Again, winds gusting out of the southwest up to 25 miles an hour. Tuesday night, 30% chance of showers, cooling off to around 50. And then for Wednesday, a 40% chance of showers. And then the sun hopefully will come out on Wednesday. And a high of around 70. Wednesday night, still chance of some showers and thunderstorms, cooling off to 47. For the extended forecast into Thursday, again, showers and thunderstorms. Thursday night, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. And then for Friday, still some partly sunny skies with a high of 61 with a slight chance of some showers. So we've got overcast skies. We've got drizzly rain going on. Rain looks like it may have stopped already, but we're at 49 currently in the Cannon Valley. So welcome to a wet and rainy Raider Wrap here on KYMN. We're going to kick it over to Liz Campbell here, and I think we're going to have Liz do the Raider scoreboard. And then when we come back from there, I think we will try to get Jason Mosley on the phone and talk a little bit about what's going on with the girls' softball team this Thursday. Big event. Big, 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 I'm telling you. Liz, what do you got?
Hello and good morning, everybody. I am your host, Liz Campbell, and you are listening to this week's Raider Scoreboard on this week's Raider Wrap. Our Clay Target team had a meet versus Morristown Gun Club on Saturday. The girls' golf team had a meet on Monday against Burnsville, Byron, Eastview, Lake City, Lakeville North, Owatonna, and Rosemount, where they took first, and Emerson Garley and Annika Johnson tied for third place. They had another matchup on Wednesday. Our boys' golf team had a meet on Monday against Burnsville, Farmington, Hastings, Holy Family Catholic, Lakeville North, and Prior Lake. The girls and boys track and field team had a triangular meet on Monday, competing against Rochester Mayo and Mankato East. On the girls' side, Nora Gottfried got first in the triple jump with 30 feet and 5 inches, Amber Mahal got first in the high jump and is ranked number 44 in the state with a jump of 5 feet, and Peyton Quass won the mile. On the boys' side, Stephen Feig got first in the pole vault with 13 feet, and Gavin Novotny got first in the 100 and 200 meter dash. The Raider softball team had an away game against Red Wing on Monday, beating the Windhawks 7-4. Kristen Hafemeyer had 3 runs, and Grace Mostad had 2. They played again the next day in Albert Lea, winning 15-7. On Thursday, they played Red Wing in the Dundas Dome, beating them again with a score of 9-8. Lindsey Erickson had one run, and captain Paige Christensen had two. Our girls' lacrosse team played Owatonna here at home on Monday, losing 4-14. They played again on Thursday against Rochester Century, losing an extremely close game with a final score of 9-10. The boys' lacrosse team had an away game against Owatonna on Monday, beating the Huskies and winning 11-8. They traveled later in the week to Rochester, also beating them 11-8. The boys' tennis team had matches against Owatonna on Tuesday, and they played again on Wednesday against Rochester Mayo. The baseball team was supposed to play Albert Lea on Tuesday,
can you hear me
that
now?
Game has been rescheduled to May 22nd.
Hello?
They played
you can hear me
Wednesday
now?
Against Rochester Century.
Yep, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep,
two.
I can hear you.
Seth
so we're
Thompson
about 90 seconds away,
runs,
and we'll come
and
to you,
Cam
okay?
Kaiser, Austin Kep,
perfect.
Ryan
hold
Cahoon,
on, thank you.
And Nico Vandewalker each had one. The cancellations from the rain on Thursday include the boys' golf match was canceled, the girls' golf match was postponed to May 9th, and baseball was rescheduled to May 15th. That's all for this week's Raider Scoreboard on this week's Raider Wrap. Keep tuning in to KYMN 95.1, The One, for more sports.
Hi, Dr. Michael Ritchie, Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center. Do you have HSA dollars that you're looking at wondering, hey, what can I use these on? Did you know you can use HSA, HRA, and other health savings accounts to pay for your LASIK procedure? In addition, if you have a Flex account, you can set aside money in your Flex account for next year to use towards LASIK.
Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center, Faribault. World-class LASIK, small-town traffic. RitchieEyeClinic.com.
Rock, blues, reggae, alt country, Americana, jazz, pop, it's all good on 95.1, The One.
The One.
All right, we're back here at the KYMN studios this morning. And thank you, Liz, for that scoreboard update. It was a rainy kind of crazy week, a lot of postponements, a lot of changes in the events and different things like that. Joining me now via telephone is Jason Mosley, co-head coach of the girls softball team. And coach, team's off to a pretty good start, 9-5 I believe, on the season, and things are looking good. Did you have any cancellations yourself?
Yeah, hey, good morning. Thanks for having us on. Yeah, the season's been going really well. Team's starting to gel, and yeah, we've had a couple of cancellations, and we even had tried to squeeze in the Albert Lea game a little early. We snuck down there early to try to get it in, and the lightning came in, and kind of we only got about a little over four innings, so we got to finish that one up. But yeah, Mother Nature's throwing us some curveballs, that's for sure.
It's been a crazy spring, hasn't it? You know, no snow, and then the spring actually comes around, then it snows, and then it's been windy and rainy and kind of crazy out there, but. Nonetheless, doing the softball team. You guys started off the season with a couple losses, then you had a couple nice wins in a row, then you had a few losses again in the middle of it, and now you're on this huge win streak. What's going on with this team?
I think it's just a learning curve. We have a really good team, great leadership from in our senior class down to our younger girls getting used to playing varsity ball. It's a great combination. Myself and Justin knew there'd be a little bit of a learning curve, getting everybody to gel together and stuff. And it's coming together, and people are starting to see that. The results are starting to come out. We're playing great games against some good teams. And, you know, like I know last time we spoke, a couple of the tougher teams in our conference are both Mankato's, and we came out right out of the gate with them and, you know, kind of got the girls a sample size of what's come. And they the whole entire team really stepped up, and, you know, we're playing great softball right now. It's perfect time to be gelling right before the playoffs here.
I'm looking at a stat online. I don't know how true this stat is, but kind of impressive. You've got, Malika's hitting about 321. You've got Horman hitting about 316. You've got Erickson at 359. Grace Mostad hitting 409. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's pretty close. I don't have the numbers in front of me because I'm up with our ninth grade team at a tournament today. But yeah, no, their bats are really waking up. And they're doing a great job making contact and getting on base. So those are pretty close. They might be off a few percentage points, but nothing drastic for sure.
And is Grace your number one go-to on the mound?
Yep. She's done a great job. All of our pitchers have. Grace has gotten us through. She's gotten a complete game now. In there, Kirsten is really stepping up too, and she had a complete game. But and Kennedy Larson, we're kind of going all around with our pitching. But yeah, Grace has been all three. But yeah, Grace has definitely stepped up when she's been. We've given her the ball on the mound for sure.
You said you've got a ninth grade game going on today.
Yep, our ninth grade team is up here in Mounds. We have their tournament today, so we're up here for three games, and of course Mother Nature threw a curveball this morning, and we were supposed to start at 9, and we're starting here in about 11 o'clock, so we get three ball games in this afternoon for our ninth graders.
Well, hopefully it sounds like throughout the afternoon, possibly, it looks like it's going to be dry. It's going to be a little bit, you know, on the windy side, but it's going to be dry. So how many kids you got up there for the ninth grade team?
I believe we have 15 on this roster, so it's a good number, but with three games back-to-back-to-back, gives them all a great opportunity to play and see some teams that we typically don't see during our regular season. Like, there's a ton of teams up here, like New Ulm, St. Peter, stuff like that, that we just don't get to see on a regular basis, so it gives them a little bit different of a competition, and I'm sure they're going to embrace it and have a good Saturday afternoon.
So that's the ninth grade team. So you've got some of your is the ninth grade team, is that strictly just ninth graders, period, or is that a combination of eighth graders, ninth graders, tenth graders? Can you mix them together?
Yeah, it's a mix. We have seventh, eighth, and ninth graders on this team.
Okay, because I think you got a couple of don't you have a couple of underclassmen on the varsity too? I think Kristen Hoffmeyer.
Yep, we have an eighth grader up there on varsity, and then we also have another eighth grader on JV as well.
So, are they allowed to participate in today's tournament? Then, or you bring them up too?
No, we let them have the day off with all the scheduling going on, and the varsity, we already had our tournament a couple weeks ago over in Zumbrota. And the JV team has to come back up to this complex here on the 18th for their three-game tournament. So we kind of just let them stay with their teams.
Okay. Yeah, you've got a couple of seniors on the team. You've got Annette, you got Christensen. I think you got Samantha Mosley's out there. And Rita Langford is a senior this year, I believe. So,
yep.
But you spread a lot. You got a lot of juniors, sophomores, and you got some underclassmen, some ninth and eighth graders on there. So good experience for them to be on the varsity this year, I would assume.
Yeah, yep. To be honest with you, coming from a coaching side of things, we have a great mixture of ages on there because you always can kind of hear about, and it tends to happen with us last year as well. We were very senior heavy, which was great. They were a great class to coach. But now, you know, like the first couple games, there's a little bit of a learning curve just because we have a younger squad. But, you know, this year we have a great mixture going, like you just pointed out, that you know, to get the experience and everything up for years to come, it's fun, and they deserve it, and it's, yeah, a great mixture of kids.
Tuesday should be an interesting game. You got Austin for a doubleheader on Tuesday, and let's skip to Thursday, shall we? You're going to have Winona in town, and why is this such an important day for the girls softball team?
It's a huge day for the team and the community. That's our strikeout cancer event. This community had started a handful of years ago, has really embraced this event in raising money to give to the Randy Shaver Foundation there. And it's really just a great event. I know every year it kind of changes depending on what day of the week it falls. And this week, or this year, with being a doubleheader during the week, we don't usually, we can't have quite as many activities as we had in the past. But, no, we got special T-shirts coming for the girls to wear for warm-ups for all the teams. And we have a special guest that'll throw out the first pitch. Things like that. We already had a fundraiser at the beginning of our season to raise money for this event. And then the local association there in town that runs our concession stands that we work a lot with have already came out and said they will donate all their profits from the concession stand that day to the event. So it's just overall a great event to be a part of. And the community really embraces it. And it's just a great time.
I didn't even know I was throwing out the first pitch. Thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. You're always welcome.
4 o'clock, huh? I better get off work early. I know, was it last year or the year before, we thought Randy Shaver would come in, but then the dates got changed or something like that, and then...
Yep, you're right. He was going to come down because I believe it was last year. The game was originally scheduled for a Saturday, but the weather, Mother Nature threw a curve at us, and we had to move it to during the week. Well, that was when he was on air, so he couldn't make it. And the same with this year. He likes to come down. He's very his organization is very grateful for everything we do, and they're very easy to work with. And unfortunately, with the scheduling and it falling on a Thursday this week, he has his job that he's committed to there. So he can't come down, but yeah, we have a different person that'll throw out the first pitch this year, and we're really looking forward to that as well.
Well, maybe I'll have to call up there and see if he's got any PTO time left. 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock, Northfield High School. So does all the events start right at 4 o'clock on Thursday? Correct.
Yep. We'll start early. We'll probably, depending on some of the schedules, we might do that first pitch, the ceremonial first pitch at the 4 there. And then, yeah, we play a normal game. Winona's going to be a tough competition. They're one of the better ones in the conference, so it's going to be a great game, and we play them really close every year. And then, yeah, we'll take a little break in the middle and stuff like that, and then we'll get right into game 2 because they got a long drive home, too, and it's a school night.
What can the community do on behalf of this? Can they come to the game? Can they donate? What can they do?
Yep, absolutely. We encourage them all to come to the game because it's going to be a great game. Like I said, we always play Winona tough. It's going to be fun and exciting. We have different donations for you can either donate if you choose so, and some local businesses do. And then you can donate like $1 or $2 for every strikeout there is, or you know, some people will do a $10 bill for every home run, legitimate home run over the fence, stuff like that. So there's little ways people contribute to it and stuff. So it's really fun.
Well, awesome. Let's hope. Let's take a look. Not that the weather guys are that good at what they do. Well, but they're all right. So Thursday looks like maybe some partly sunny skies and 61, northwest winds about 15 miles an hour, and then cooling off a little bit that night. So, but the winds will kind of hang out there about 10 to 15. So hopefully, cross your fingers. Looks like it could be a nice night for softball.
Yeah, I mean, that breeze doesn't hurt anything because it helps keep all the mosquitoes and everything away.
It does. It does indeed. And it also helps those bats if it's blowing in the right direction.
Yep, absolutely.
All righty. Jason, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Good luck to the girls' softball team. And we wish you the best of luck on the cancer game on Thursday against Winona. So, again, 4 o'clock Thursday, people. Head on out to the softball fields over here in Northfield and take part in it and participate for the Cancer Foundation and something, an event that they've been doing for many, many years. And I'm assuming the girls kind of look forward to this too, right, Jason?
Oh, absolutely. They have this circled. This is one of the major events that they circle right away. It's they really enjoy it. They embrace it and stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it myself.
All right, Jason. Well, keep dry, and good luck to you on Tuesday and on Thursday.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate all you do, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Jason Mosley, co-head coach of the girls' softball team. Again, kick cancer to the curb, so to speak. That's coming up on Thursday, starting at 4 o'clock at the Softball Diamonds here in Northfield. So I hope you can find some time to get out there, you know, throw a couple bucks at it and raise some money to help fight cancer. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we will talk, meet the Raider with Liz Campbell and Evan Lowell. They're going to interview the Hucks. Who are the Hucks? Well, shucks. We'll find out right after this.
At Benjamin Bus, we have an excellent team of drivers. With over 400 years of combined driving experience, Benjamin Bus drivers are proud of their excellent safety record and accomplishments. Join our team, get paid, and enjoy being a big part of Raider Nation. We at Benjamin Bus are proud of the accomplishments of the Northfield Raiders and wish all of the Raider student athletes a safe and successful season. Contact us, Benjamin Bus, your trusted friend on the road.
Kids are constantly changing, both physically and emotionally. That means the challenges of parenting change too. At Northfield Hospital and Clinics, our pediatricians are experts in kids. Our pediatric team works with you to provide the best individualized care and guidance through all your child's stages of growth. And we take the time to listen to your questions and concerns too. When only the best for your kids will do, schedule an appointment with the pediatric team at Northfield Hospital and Clinics, partnering with you for a lifetime of care.
Hi, Paul Ryland here from Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers. Spring is the perfect time to come out and view our model homes, be it to inform your next dream home or retirement home or for a growing family. Find out why a new construction might be the best fit for you. Come to our model homes Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 1 to 4 or by appointment. Our Northfield model home is located at 431 Ford Street East over by the soccer fields.
Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, or give us a call, 507-366-1288.
Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, a family tradition of over 50 years.
You finally feel like your business is positioned well for the future instead of just playing catch up. So what changed? Well, you might have to give credit to Merchants Bank, your new bank. Before, you didn't have the personal connection to a banker who really understood your needs. But now with Merchants Bank, you're backed by a team who shares your vision and what it will take to get you there. Plus, they've introduced treasury management tools to save time and money, making you more efficient. Thanks, Merchants Bank. Can't wait to see what's next.
Check out KYMNradio.net for show archives. Listen to your favorite shows from your computer or download the podcasts and listen to KYMN anywhere, anytime.
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN 95.1, the 1 in AM 1080. Hey, if you haven't had breakfast yet, the Rice County 4-H has a fundraiser going on this morning over at the American Legion in Faribault. It's from 8 until noon, so you got about a little over an hour. You can head over to the American Legion there in Faribault, and they're going to have an omelet breakfast with breakfast potatoes along with milk, orange juice, or coffee, all for just $12 at the door. There's also going to be a silent auction and a bake sale. So donations are accepted and can be made to the Rice County 4-H Horse Project going on until noon at the American Legion in Faribault today. And the Bloody Marys, of course, are extra. We will head over to Evan Lowe and Liz Campbell as they talk to Hucks captains on this week's Meet the Raider.
Same thing with, like, record-wise. Like, I think we're 3-1 now. And, I mean, we definitely keep track of it because we hold ourselves to that. Like, wow, we've gotten three really good wins and, you know, one tough loss that I think could have gone either way, but...
I think our record shows that even though we're co-ed, that only works to our advantage.
Hello and good morning, Raider Nation. Welcome back to Meet the Raider, Northfield's youth-led sports radio show. We are your hosts, Liz Campbell
and Evan Lowe. Today in the studio, we have seniors from the co-ed Hucks Ultimate Frisbee team, Jenny Salino Santos and Liam O'Neill. Thank you both for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you. It's fun being here.
Just looking at kind of a day-to-day aspect, what does a normal practice look like for you guys?
So usually we were around 5 to 10 minutes waiting for everybody to get there. We do jog. We make sure to stretch. Stretching is really important in order to not get injured. And then after that, we'll do some throwing. We have our go-to drills.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of depends on the day, whether we have a game or we're coming after a game.
We have a lot of fun after game routines. We like to go out for food. Yesterday, actually, it was Chipotle. I think our second game of the year against Red Wing, both teams all went to Culver's after that. So it's really fun, especially just being so close to the other team. There's a lot of talking, but it's not trash talking. It's instead like, wow, nice catch, nice throw. Like, it's a very uplifting sport, and that's one of the great things that I found in Ultimate.
Yeah, and talking about games, you're coming off of a big win against Bloomington from this week. Could you guys kind of run us through that game and how that went for the team?
Yeah, right off the bat, we kind of noticed that we had this one in the bag. We tried to stay focused on our technique. Communication went really well for us. And overall, I think we just relied on our knowledge and our communication between team members, and we won the game before we even started.
You saw the other team warm up, and you're like, yeah, this one's on us. We got this.
I was a little scared, honestly. They had some buff dudes, and
yeah,
you know, it's a little scary when you see them out there, but right at the start of the game, we kind of got off to a really fast pace, which it can be good. In this case, it was good just because we scored a lot of points. Actually, MVP of that game, Maddox Fredrickson, he's an eighth grader, and he scored 7 points for us, which is just astonishing. So he was doing great. We had a lot of success with deep throws. That's kind of been a trend this year, is a lot of our deep shots have been working, especially with guys like Maddox and Jens Kasten, one of our captains, and some good throws from our handlers, too, to get to them. But it was a really good game. Got out to an early lead. And then, you know, once you get out to that lead, you can kind of start working on the short game and trying to get more technical.
And you mentioned some underclassmen putting up some pretty astonishing points on the board yesterday. Can you just talk us through a little bit of how scoring works in Ultimate Frisbee?
Yeah, so it's sort of similar to football. You start on one end of the field and you pass it between your teammates in order to get it to the other side of the field in the end zone. And as long as you have 1 foot in the end zone and a hand on the disc, we've got a point.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to get down. That's the hard part. I won't go into a lot of detail about them because it's a whole messy thing. But there's a vertical stack where you have two handlers, which are the two people like mainly throwing the disc. And then you have 5 people all lined up. And so the person at the very back of the stack, they make their cut. Or if you don't get that, you just keep going deep, and they throw it to you, you try and go get it like Maddox did on 7 occasions.
The best way to kind of describe it is it's a mix between American football, basketball, and soccer. Basics is you can't move with the disc, so you really have to throw it person to person to get it down the field, all while people are blocking you and running and trying to get that disc out of your hands and into theirs.
Thank you, Jenny. And then, Liam, you were talking about a play that there's 2 people kind of able to throw the deep pass, and then everyone else was in a stack and they were going out and making cuts. After you do a play, does the team kind of regroup and develop into their next play, or is it after that first setup, it's a scramble from there?
I mean, to start, it can be a scramble. It's sort of that transition phase where if someone's open, try to get it down to them. But then if you can't find that, then you reset and you get back into that form. It's kind of like a basketball transition. It's very similar to that, where you look for your first open look. If you can't get through that quick motion to keep pushing it forward, then you break it back down into your normal sets. And the great thing is most people are very capable of throwing the disc, so it allows us to get that transition movement up the field. But yeah, it's kind of transition at first and then just kind of ease back into that stack and keep pushing forward.
And the Hucks are not affiliated with Northfield High School. Can you guys just kind of walk us through how game scheduling works and getting up to games works since you're not part of the Northfield High School?
Yeah, so we're really lucky to be coming off a really strong history of Ultimate Frisbee in Northfield. We obviously have the colleges here, and both our coaches have either played in college or coached college teams. So they've been a great help in helping us organize and get the equipment, finding the places that sell that equipment, where to get uniforms, all that sorts of stuff. And also our alumni from years past have been really good about passing down the torch and passing down the information.
Yeah, and especially with, like, getting to games, it's, I mean, it's just three cars, basically, and you just pack them full of people, and you drive up sort of caravan style, because, you know, it is hard without, like, school funding, especially, I mean, I get it, though, they can't fund everything, so it also builds a lot of connection to players when you have that tight car. And, you know, you got to talk to people who you might not usually talk to, especially if it was on, like, a long bus and you're getting up to these games. So it does kind of build a lot of camaraderie, and you share some good memories.
Yeah, games are probably one of the most fun aspects of the sport, especially the crowd. Because we're not affiliated with the schools, we can have some pretty fun themes. Our next theme is bring your own pet. And people have loved that in years past, and everybody just brings their dog, cat, bird, whatever it may be, and they just sit on the sidelines and watch, and it's always really fun.
Thinking about more of the beginning of the season, going into competition season, how do you guys schedule your games and things like that? Is there a bracket or something like that, or do you just kind of play teams as you play them?
Yeah, so we play in the Minnesota Ultimate High School League, and they schedule games for us. I believe we have the schedule for the next four games, and those are every Thursday. And of course, we have to reschedule sometimes, but almost always been on Thursdays.
Yeah, and this is my second year doing Ultimate, and last year, I think we had a game against, I think it's the Lakeville South Crayons. I think Lakeville South Crayons, that it wasn't scheduled at all. Sometimes we'll just, like, message a team and say, like, hey, do you want to play a game here at this time, this date? And, you know, we can get it together. And I think that's one of the great things about Ultimate, too, is, like, it's so fluid to play. Like, you can play whenever. It's really easy to set up.
If you're just tuning in to Meet the Raider, we're talking with Jenny Salinas-Santos and Liam O'Neill about the Hucks Ultimate Frisbee team. And so now, kind of taking a little transition from Ultimate Frisbee, today, you guys went out and represented Northfield on the Envirothon team. Could you both kind of give us a rundown of what Envirothon is and how you guys did today?
For sure. So Envirothon was basically proposed by Mr. OJ. He showed us a flyer and told us it was this environmental competition thing. So without much information, we kind of just agreed to it. So basically what it is, it's a competition. There's multiple stations and you get tested on a variety of environmental knowledge, all based around Minnesota.
Yeah, I think there's six categories, I want to say. There's water resources, soils, so like soil composition, wildlife is one, current issue, and then forestry. The sixth one is you have to do like an oral presentation, and that kind of just involves like setting up my team did a trifold. It's like a trifold. You put some different visuals on there, and you have to kind of do a proposal. I think this year it was renewable energy in the Iron Range.
And we went through the competition. We didn't expect much. We were just hoping to not be in last place. But surprisingly, we got one team in first place who will be heading off to state, maybe, if all things work out.
Maybe.
And then another team that tied for third.
Yeah. That's awesome. Congratulations to you both. And then going back to talking about Ultimate, so you talked about how your today was an in-between practice and you're kind of trying to just refine some of your skills. Is there anything that you want to work on that you've kind of seen within the last couple of games that you want to improve upon in upcoming matches?
From my perspective, some of the more technical aspects, like getting the stack set up, that's been kind of a big thing for us, is that we've had some trouble setting up the stack and keeping that stack formation as we move down the field. A big thing that we worked on today was explosiveness and like chopping our feet, going into our cuts, getting your hips low and exploding out of it. That's one thing that we worked on, and actually we improved a lot on that just during the practice alone. I think we did a drill, we called it the gauntlet, running cone to cone, catching discs, breaking it down, and then exploding out. And I think everyone improved by at least a second.
And you guys are both returners to the Ultimate team. What would be your guys' biggest takeaway from last season that you're now applying into this season?
Probably take it easy on the beginners. I know it was, I'm not going to lie, it was hard at the start of the season trying to, you know, put up with them, with some of the beginners. But, I mean, I realize that I'm a beginner too. And that's one of the harder aspects of the team is, like, if you're a returner, like, we have so many new people each year. Like, I think this year or going into next year, if all the returning players or people who want to return do, we would have 5 players. So every year it's a huge like roster overhaul and we have to find so many new players. So just kind of becoming the mentor instead of the mentee, it can be hard, but it's definitely rewarding than seeing those new players become so much better at the game.
For me, coming into the season as a captain, it's been really important for me to keep a good attitude. I felt a lot of pressure going into the season, kind of thinking like, oh, well, if I'm captain, then I have to be the best on the team, which is definitely not the case. But keeping like a positive attitude and always being receptive to advice and receptive to help and showing other new players that even I have things to learn, and so they feel open to ask for help.
And does the team have any specific goals for this season?
Win.
Yeah. Keep that winning streak.
Yeah. I mean, ultimate for me, it's all about fun and being with my friends and just, you know, I like messing around, but still competing and playing at that higher level. So, I mean, I think we've done a great job so far. This has been a very fun season, and I think that's kind of what's missing from a lot of sports is that, like, you know, as the season drags on, you know, you can kind of start to think like, oh, when is this going to be over? I mean, for Ultimate, I dread the day that the season ends.
Facts. I think this season we really want to do a lot more team bonding, whether that means going out to eat after a game or having a bonfire, who knows, but really working on our relationship as a team and seeing how that'll improve our game.
And how do you guys, along with your teammates, of course, try to make practices more fun?
Yeah, so after a game, you know, we're going into the weekend. We've, you know, already done what we've needed to do. We like to have what we call Friday fun days, and that's really a more relaxed, laid-back practice. We'll definitely do some drills that lean more on the game side. One of those drills is chop. It's kind of an elimination game, and we have people chant chop, 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 and that really gets everybody going and riled up. Again, just working on that team bonding, communication. Yeah, we have our fun times for sure.
Yeah, I think for me, the main thing is just bringing a lot of energy. I know sometimes on the sidelines, especially, we can get distracted because, I mean, almost everyone on the team is friends. I talk to everyone on the team. There's no one who I won't talk to. So, you know, just keeping them engaged, though, and being engaged in the game, supporting my teammates. Our coach, Jacob, one of my favorite things to do with him is I'll run over and we'll both do like a 90s movie, like high point, high five. That's something that always gets me and him going. But, yeah, just cheering on our teammates and being really supportive. I think just a very supportive side of Ultimate, supporting your team and the other team, it's very infectious.
And so looking ahead to these upcoming weeks, what are the matchups looking like? Who are you guys going to compete against?
So at the time of recording this, our next game is against Lakeville South. And then following that, we have an away game in Hastings, which I really love away games. Like Liam mentioned before, it's always really fun to carpool there. We really, you know, get all riled up, get some good songs going.
You know, another fun thing about kind of like the Hucks game schedule is like I don't even know who's on these other teams before we see them. Like there's no film. You just show up and, you know, you have to talk to them. Well, I mean, I guess you don't have to, but it's what makes the game fun. And that's another thing is like at the end of the game, we like both teams give out spirit awards. So you just find whoever you think had the best spirit, like the person who was talking to you the most, the nicest person, and you give them that that little award just to kind of show that person some appreciation for having some good sportsmanship.
Yeah, it's awesome. That really just highlights again, Liam, as you're talking about, the camaraderie and connectedness between just the community of Ultimate Frisbee.
For sure. Okay, well, thank you guys so much for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
If you missed part of this interview live or want to listen to it again, head to our website, kymnradio.net, and tap on the sports header. That's a wrap on this week's Meet the Raider with your hosts, Liz Campbell
and Evan Lowe. Keep tuning in this week for more sports on KYMN 95.1, The One.
Northfield is a unique town with passionate people. So much passion, it can be hard to keep up. That's why, if you're into art, local politics, sports, or anything else, Northfield Public Broadcasting is here to serve you. NPB is a free public access local television station that accepts video submissions for whatever you care about. NPB is a reflection of the community that makes it. Does that include you? Look for Northfield Public Broadcasting on the web to watch videos that are free for anyone and everyone.
95.1. The One.
Well, that's a wrap for this Saturday morning. It's 5 after 11 o'clock this morning. We got some overcast skies, continuing to rain today. Maybe the rain will go away a little bit later this afternoon, and we should be warming up to a big whopping approximately 59 degrees hot possibly today. We're at 49 currently with overcast skies. Special thank you to Pete Mergens, the head coach of the Clay Target Skeet team, for joining us this morning, coming off of a state title from last year. And then also to our guests, Jason Mosley, who is on the phone for us today talking about the girls' softball team. Not only their softball team, but their event coming up on Thursday. It's Kick Cancer to the Curb. It's the Randy Shaver Foundation. It's starting at 4 o'clock Thursday afternoon. They'll be taking on Winona on that day, but they'll have all kinds of fun events out there that you can participate in as a spectator, and you can help donate to their cancer foundation and the fund. And then again, a special thank you to Liam O'Neill and Jennifer Selena Santos for joining us on this week's Meet the Raider. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your omelet up until noon at the American Legion in Faribault for the Rice County 4-H Club. They'll be putting on an omelet breakfast going on until noon today. So $12 at the door for omelets and potatoes and a drink of your choice as well. So again, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and we will see you hopefully next week. Jimmy LaRue bidding you adieu for yet another day here on Saturday. Take care, people. Find your 10 seconds of happiness today.
95.1, The One. More music, better variety.
The One.